Testing. Okay, we're gonna get started, folks. We need to get started. Okay, we're gonna open in prayer, everybody, so we can get moving.
One more time.
Okay, let's open this in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather. We ask that you would just bless us today as we worship and praise you. Lord, we invite your precious Holy Spirit into this service. Come and dwell with us and bless each one here. And we pray for your anointing over the pastor as she brings forth the message today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And for our opening scripture.
That's right.
Hello.
Okay, I'm up here for the opening scripture. And so, is I muted? Is I? Okay. So can you show the PowerPoint? Do you remember that our word is received this year? And our scripture was John 3:21? But there's a couple of reasons why I've added those other pictures. And then remember how we were talking about the power of Pentecost and that's what this church is going to be and continue even more so representing. So anyways, those other pictures, there's going to be a reason later. But okay, and then.
I like the eagle up there.
Yeah, I know. It's a dove, but yeah. Okay, and then Debbie, go ahead and do the next one. But I just added the sound effects because I was just like, "Come on, guys! You know we're gonna get it. I'm really excited." So the opening scripture. Thank you. Did you? Okay. There. Okay. Okay. Are we ready? Can we all stand for the opening scripture? Because I want us to join and read it together. I mean, if you can. You okay, Barbara? Okay? Okay. Okay. Let's read the scripture together. Remember the word and promise to your servant in which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your word has revived me and given me life. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that cool? I found that. And they have some other stuff on .com, so I kept the email address. Okay. Well, okay, thank you, Pastor Janet.
You are welcome. And let's go ahead and remain standing for this. In doing this, it was just the word my soul kept coming to me that, and I, of course, had no idea what the scripture was, but just that he is a comfort to our soul. And really, we're opening the song with Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So really take that as a prayer and as a promise that he is going to bless our soul today. Mm-hmm. Bless the worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. The first song we did was based on Psalm 103.
Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Just lift up words of worship to him. It can be simply as, Lord, I adore you. I love you, Lord. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your help in time of need. I thank you for your comfort when I'm hurting. I thank you for your hope in times of despair. Thank you. you, Lord. We worship you this morning, Lord. We worship you. You may be seated. Well, we're going to continue worshiping the Lord with his tithes and our offerings. So if Miss Chris could come up here.
Father God, you have said that you are our provider. And you provide all that we need and more. Father, you are in the business of giving us the desires of our heart as well as our provision. So Lord, today we just give back a small portion of what you've given us. And we give it thankfully and with praise and worship. Amen.
I would like us to just sing the first verse of Amazing Grace together. I think most of us know that.
Amazing Grace, how sweet.
Heavenly Father, this is yours. Everything that we have is yours. And our amazing grace that we have received through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, this also is yours, that you have freely given to us and we freely receive, Lord. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, for this time to give back unto you your tithes and then offerings above and beyond as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I thank you and praise you for giving is something that is special that you have asked all of us to do. So, Lord, this is yours. It is totally and completely yours. May it be used in ways that are well-pleasing to you with the utmost integrity. And, Lord, I thank you and praise you that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings goes to help the missions and the Foursquare to continue to help other churches, Lord. The leadership that helps each and every one. And Lord, I thank you that Foursquare so emphasizes missions to get the gospel to everyone. Truly, I thank you for the love that is empowered in this gospel, that is empowered through you, Lord God, through Jesus being our Lord and Savior, through your Holy Spirit. And that power, I ask, will be upon each and one of these offerings, Lord God, and your tithes, Lord. And that power will also be blessing the lives of those who have freely given unto you and for your tithes. Lord, multiply. Thank you, Lord. Praise your precious holy name. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I don't know about this getting older stuff, because I remember when I used to babysit. I was like, what is up with that? Because I'm still young at heart. I'm her age. Travis says sometimes I act even 14. So, sorry, didn't mean to do that. Well, we have like an interesting message today, because once again I had something else kind of scheduled. And then in prayer night, just God spoke volumes and I was crying a lot. And so it was Paul and I. Before that, something happened. We were at our table over there somewhere, and dinner table. And I go, Paul, look, is that Dick's house? Which is
here where we meet. And so, Debbie, can you show that one slide with like the little house and then there's a big sun thing and then I don't remember what slide it is and then there's a little, yeah. And so it kind of looked like that one. I was trying to find like a picture of what it looked like, but it was just bright. Now, that might be a fire, but I was trying to portray to you guys what we saw. You know, it looks like not good, but it looked a bright orange, like a bright light, and it was just coming off, just exuding from it. And obviously, the sun was setting in the, with these windows, right? So we got up from the dinner table, and because we can see the mountain range from there, and he gets these nice binoculars. And then he looked and we're going, yeah, it's Dick's house. Well, it happened 3 times. And then it happened, and then Tuesday night happened. So I believe God has a message for us. And this happened another time. This was a few years ago when God put the call on my life and I knew something was going on. Besides just being, you know, me always helping somewhere in the church and doing something. And Paul, I had asked Paul if he was praying, and so he said, yeah. And so then we went to church the next Sunday, and the Lord was revealing some stuff to me and revealing some stuff to Paul. And this had never happened to us. We loved the Lord. We would read the Word, and all of a sudden, scriptures were popping out. Things were, and then the Holy Spirit, and just kind of like a do-do-do-do-do-do-do experience. And then And then Sunday morning, Pastor Johnny in his service, you know, was sharing something. And then Paul, like, it was confirmation to something Paul had received. And then all of a sudden, we were looking at the Catalina Mountain Range and more the rugged part over here. And it was like a bright light, but it was more gold. It wasn't like the sun. And it did it for quite some time. And then it stopped, which was confirming some of what Paul had received from the Lord. But since then, we've seen it, but it's the sun. You can tell it is the sun. This looked like a glittering gold for a few times, so it was kind of confirmation. So I just have a feeling God is sharing something to us. And so I'm going to be sharing what I feel God is sharing to us. Isaiah chapter 62. I have, that's what I was reading when I was here, and we were praying, and we were actually doing the word for Arizona from the Start the Year Off Right, and Bridge Builders has made a prayer guideline book, and I brought it on Tuesday night, and I was going through it, and they were referring to this, but then the Lord had me reading more and praying more of Psalm 62. As I was, Isaiah 62, thank you. And as I was going through, I was like, wow, Lord. And I knew he was speaking, and I knew it was heavy, and I was just overwhelmed. And Isaiah 62 says that, well, you know how there's subtitles? First, I want to start with the subtitles. And they're like the New English Translation says, the Lord takes delight in Zion. The New American Standard Bible. Zion's glory and new name. That's a subtitle for this Isaiah 62. Then there's the ERV, the English Revised Version. It says, the New Jerusalem, a city full of goodness. The New Living Version, NLV, is something new for Zion. And then the Lexham English Bible subtitles, Isaiah 62, Zion's New Identity. Some would just say Zion's new name, like the New American Standard Bible. And I was like, okay, Lord, what are you speaking? Well, we had that word, receive. Beginning of the year, the Lord told us to receive. That was the word he had given us, a pathway of hope. And also he gave us the scripture, John 3:21. And it said, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The amplified of that says, but he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him. And then the Good News Translation says, but those who do what is true come to the light, in order that the light may show that what they did was in obedience to God. Just as we give our tithes, the Lord's tithes. Because it says in Malachi 3, it says, you know, why? Because you've robbed me. Everything that we have, all increase, everything is his. And so the Lord just asks for 10%, and then often we're led to give in other ways above and beyond. It's great to be generous. It's good to give. It's good to give to the Catalina Food Bank, and they'll take even clothing, not just non-perishable items. So generosity is a blessing, to bless others. It's better to give than to receive, as we've all heard. And it can be time. It can be helping in different ways. It doesn't have to just be money. Isaiah chapter 62, I believe, is an extension of this word that God has given us. It's for all believers, but I believe he's specifically asking Pathway of Hope to claim this. It is ours. What I did, though, is I took a lot of time looking at all sorts of different translations, and I have made, which I will give you later, because I'd rather you listen instead of reading, following along. I will give you later exactly what I came up with and all the different translations, and I'll have it in the way that it is. On verse 1, so I'm just going to read it, and then later you can see the little initials and everything for the translations. Isaiah 62. Because I love Jerusalem for Zion's sake. Anything on that? Pathway of Hope. Because I love Pathway of Hope, I will continue to speak. I will not hold my peace. I will not be silent. And for Pathway of Hope's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness, her goodness, goes forth as brightness, as the light, lamp that burns, flames up like a torch. When I'm working on this sermon, I have a bucket of tears in the house. So I know he's speaking to us, people. Isaiah 62, verse 2 and going on. Jerusalem, Pathway of Hope, the nations will see your goodness, your righteousness, and all kings will see your glory. In other words, leaders. Pathway of Hope, Jerusalem, the nations will see you victorious. You will be called by a new name, a name given by the Lord himself. The name he gave us is Pathway of Hope. Will be called a house of prayer, healing and salvation center. A house of prayer, healings and salvation center. You will be a glorious crown in my strong hand. You will be like a royal crown in my powerful hand. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, or your land be called the deserted wife. You will be called the people God loves, and your land will be called the bride of God, because the Lord loves you. Your name will no longer be deserted and childless, but happily married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you.
As a bridegroom rejoices, pleased, happy, delighted over his bride, so will your God rejoice, be full of joy over you. I have set watchmen, guards, on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. You people who remind the Lord of your needs in prayer should never be quiet. They must remind the Lord of his promises and never let him forget them. That was verse 6. I want to just stop here for a second. I was praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I need more prayer warriors. As you know, that the actually, even the outfit that I'm wearing and the shoes is a dear prayer warrior that went to be with the Lord. And I was blessed. She wore the same size. And it was hard going through the clothes, you know, and then I'm blessing Eagles Wings of Grace and blessing Miracle Center and blessing others. But I was blessed, too. But I remember one time praying, Lord, I need more prayer warriors for the call that you have on my life. I need more help. And he said, you have many. And I won't tell you how many he gave me, but I know that there is many that God has called to pray for Pathway of Hope. But it still is our duty as watchmen for Pathway of Hope, of caring not just for ourselves, but for them. For other people, there's so many that are hurting and going through stuff and trials. And we need to pray and pray. And remember I told you that in the beginning when God appointed me as a senior pastor, and I said, go ape for Poe. Go ape. Always pray every day. Go ape for Poe, Pathway of Hope. And there was a bunch of acronyms, and it's one of them that's on here. And it says, I am asking you to ape, go be ape for Poe 7 times 7. I was saying, like, you know, just even 7 minutes a day, 7 days a week. Just go ape for Poe. And I want to remind you about that. But I want to also refer to how powerful prayer is. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50, how we opened. Remember the word, this is the New King James Version. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. And God has many promises on here, over 3,000 promises that are ours to claim. It's ours. And this gives us hope. And this gives others hope. And this is how we encourage each other with hope. This is powerful. It's not us. It's him. It's his word. There's power in prayer. And do you know that there's even studies that those who are not Christians, there is power in prayer. The way God designed us, there is power in prayer. But then when you are moving the kingdom of heaven, amen, through Jesus being your Lord and Savior, there is power in prayer. Luke 18, do you read Jesus in the New Living Translation? Verse 1, it says, Luke 18:1. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. The English Standard Version says, do not lose heart. And this is about the parable, the story of a persistent widow. She did not give up. And there is power in praying and not giving up. Therefore, I exhort you. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And it's subtitled in the New King James Version, pray for all. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers,
intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm not like so thankful. I had to work on that sometimes, you know, because, you know, somebody cuts you off or something like that. You're supposed to give thanks for all. And I am thankful that those that I accidentally cut off because I'm busy and didn't see them or something, then I go, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I hope I didn't give them a heart attack. And but it says, therefore, exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. In other words, leaders and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. In Romans, it talks about how all authority is appointed by God. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between man and between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 then talks about, this talks about praying for all men, but this is part of the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, and I go all the way through 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And that includes Hannah. And that includes other missionaries and other leaders and other Christians that you know. Because remember, it's not just about Pathway of Hope. We are the body of Christ, the church. I like it the way the Foursquare did it. It is ICFG, the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel. And it means that we're all part of the church of the Lord God, dedicated the cornerstone at Angela's Temple. It is dedicated to interdenominational and worldwide evangelism, because she never wanted a denomination. She wanted to be the church of God. We are the church, and we should be praying for the church. And we should be praying for those that are being persecuted and martyred. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 talks about, in New King James Version, rejoicing and prayer. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, continually, the New International Version says. In everything, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, depending on which version you want to listen to. But all things, give thanks for all things? Well, why? Because when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it is then that when we love God and we're obedient to him, he will work everything out together for our good. Those yucky things that we go through, the trials, that he will work together for our good, if we love him, if we are serving him, and we can give thanks for those trials that we go through. We can give thanks because he is the one that our lives are surrendered to, and he will work it out together for good. It is only when Jesus is our Lord and Savior that we see that result. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice again in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Everything. Cheerful hearts. Thankful hearts. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Another one says, in Christ Jesus. We are his, and he is ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, I am united with the Lord, and I am one with him in spirit. So the peace he gives us is only the peace that he can give, not like the world gives. That's why in the midst of everything and whatever's going on, you can have a peace. It says nothing can separate us in Romans 8, towards the end, from God's love. Nothing. We can if we do not want to receive his love. But it's there for us. It's up to us. He's not going to force his love upon us. He's not going to force his peace upon us unless we're willing to receive what we have through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, which is part of that fullness. And this is what we have to offer to the many out here and way beyond. Peace. Boy, the world could use peace, couldn't it? Right now. I remember one time, my mother, who wasn't a Christian, she goes, Karen, doesn't that Bible you believe in say that you're not supposed to worry? And in my mind, I was saying, oh, shut up. But I said, oh, Mom, you know, that's how I came out. And I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me. That's not honoring my mother, but she's right. And I was blowing it. And my mother knew that worrying was a sin, and I was sinning, and I needed to repent. And I was thankful as an adult being corrected by my mother, by the Lord God, through my mother, that I needed to surrender, and I needed to repent and not worry and put it in his hands. The power of prayer. Wow. These promises. Claiming the word of God when you're praying. Wow. Awesome. We'll go on. Isaiah 62, verse 7. And give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem pathway of hope, a praise in the earth. They must remind the Lord and not let him rest till he makes Jerusalem, Pathway of Hope, strong and famous everywhere. Others will know that Pathway of Hope is a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center, just like others knew about Angela's temple. And they would drive by and see if the doors were open. And if the doors were open, they'd tell the ambulance driver, stop, and let me go in there and go for prayer. And often, they would leave them there because they wouldn't need to go on to the hospital. They would be healed. That is what's going to happen, and they will know. You should not stop praying to the Lord God Almighty, to Jesus, until he builds up Jerusalem, Pathway of Hope, and makes it a city all people will praise. It makes it a church. Do you know that as Pathway of Hope grows and blesses, you all know my dreams, and they're big. Can you imagine blessing people in practical ways? Totally and completely practical ways, but with the love of the Lord, non-judgmental, caring, compassionate, loving, gentle, kind. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited what God's going to do. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give you grain as food for your enemies. The Voice translation says, I will never again turn over your assets to your enemies. That's like good protection. I don't know about you. That's cool. And the sons of the foreigner, and other translations say enemies, strangers, foreigners, shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. And that laboring is the power of prayer and obedience unto the Lord. But those who gathered it shall eat and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts, in the courts of my temple, my sanctuary, my holy place.
pathway of hope. People of Jerusalem, a pathway of hope. Open your gates. So ready yourselves to pass through the gates from old to new. Prepare the way of the people. Build up the highway. Get at it, says the message. Repair the road to the city and clear it of stones. Clear the debris. Many of you remember the story of the woman caught in adultery. John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11 talks about this. And people bring the woman, she's caught up to adultery, and they say to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. But Jesus bent down, and he started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground again. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. And Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one, sir." Jesus goes on to say, and he declares to her, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." Stones. Stones are the accusations of the condemnation. With Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. But it goes on to talk about the importance of listening to the Holy Spirit and being obedient. Are we being obedient? Do you have any stones or debris in your life? Do you have any unforgiveness? Do you have anything that is a stone or debris that needs to be removed to prepare the highway? Because we are a family. We are family. We are. We are family. And our sins affect others in our family. Our unconfessed, unrepentant hearts, unsubmitted hearts to the Lord affects each other. So I am asking you, and the Lord is asking you, asking us as a family, asking us because he cares and loves this area and beyond, and he wants us to be used to touch this area and beyond, let alone in our own lives and our children and our grandchildren and our families and relatives, neighbors. He wants to bless co-workers. He wants to bless, but we need each other to ask the Holy Spirit to examine, is there any stones, sometimes boulders, any debris that needs to be removed? Clear the debris. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Raise the banner as a sign over the people. Raise the banner over the city for the nations to see. Raise a banner to help the nations find their way. Put up a signal so that the nations can know. Lift up an ensign over the peoples. Lift a signal flag for the nations. Here is what the Lord has said. We're going on in verse 11. For all the earth to hear, soon I will come to save the city of Zion, pathway of hope, and to reward you. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. This is also including where we located. He wants to save, and he wants to go beyond.
you will be called God's holy people, the ones protected by the Lord, redeemed of Jehovah. Your city, Pathway of Hope, in this area will be known as a good place to live and a city full of people. Pathway of Hope will be full of people because the blessings of God and the truth, uncompromised, will be taught and spoke. He will be worshipped. The debris will be removed. And we will have an awesome discipling program helping each other to continue to love the Lord, obey Him, grow in Him, and be blessed by Him. And seeing Him work. And many lives will be saved. Many lives will be healed, including in our areas where we could use some healing. And many lives will be so touched by the power of prayer. Captives will be set free. The blind will see. Lift a signal flag for the nations. Here is what the Lord has said for all the earth to hear. Soon I will come to save the city of Zion and to reward you. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. His reward is with him and his work before him. Because we're recognizing this, this is why we will be called God's holy people. Because we are looking at that and doing what he is saying, this is why we will be called the ones protected by the Lord. Because we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, this is why we will be called the redeemed of Jehovah. Your city will be known as a good place to live in a city full of people because God is our Lord. He is our number one priority. Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, is the life. And no one comes to the Father but by having Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We will be blessed because of that. We will be known because of that. Because the truth will be uncompromised here. It will not be compromised at all. It will be spoken in truth, but with his love and with his power. His people will be called the holy people, the saved people of the Lord. And you, Jerusalem, Pathway of Hope, will be called the city God wants, the city God is with, the city God has not rejected, or the church. Jerusalem, Pathway of Hope, will be called the city God loves, the city that God did not forsake. You will be called sought after, a city not deserted. You shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. This is the word to Pathway of Hope and to this area, for Pathway of Hope is a bright light for this area. 2 and 4, not our glory. We want to bring fame to his name, not us. All praise be unto our Lord God. Amen. Heaven and earth, the creator. Yes. The standard, when I was looking up the banner, we were reading a little thing about our Uncle Mickey. He's 93 years old. And Paul's, you know, I get it, the blessing from marriage. And Paul's uncle was a Pearl Harbor survivor and was in the Navy for 23 years. And they showed a picture, and he's on the internet and his story, and he's on this big thing on the ship, and he's directing when they were after the first bombing, which he should have been killed where he was. He went to go change clothes at a card game so that he could play football, and all the men at that card game died. And the bomb, and he had his football gear up, and so he went up and climbed up on that thing, and he was directing them when the next wave of the airplanes came in. Anyways, talking his stories and stuff, he was invited, because you should see his schedule. 93 years old, you should see his schedule. It is incredible. And at his 90th birthday, we were floored at his schedule, and now he's still going.
And he was at Pearl Harbor, and somebody noticed him, and then a school noticed him, and so they asked him to come back. And so in March or April, I think it was, he went there to Hawaii, and he was honored and all of this, and it was just really a blessing. It was so neat. And then he comes back, and then they ran into somebody because he wears his Pearl Harbor survivor gear and stuff, you know, like, and so they were all impressed. And then somebody from Denmark took pictures and wanted to see him, and then it was like, wow. And so then they get home, and he has two other speaking engagements in Oakland, California. It was like, wow, how he does that. He still helps the veterans. He drives them. He's the head usher at their church for 40-something years. I mean, but in war, do we not know how important it is to show that banner, to show that flag, to show that signal that this is our territory and we want it? And do you not see when you watch these war movies and stuff and you see them and somebody else dies, maybe the flag and the other one leads it. His banner over us, over Pathway of Hope, is love. Because of what he did for us. His banner, his standard, as the King James Version says. And I was looking up in the Hebrews Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and it means a flag. Also a sail, a flagstaff. Generally, it's a signal, a figurative of a token, a banner, pole, sail, an ensign, a sign, a standard. But it comes from another Hebrew word, and that primary root is to gleam from afar. And that's what happened. That was a sign. It was gleaming. To be conspicuous as a signal. Or rather, perhaps something like the idea of a flag is fluttering in the wind. To raise a beacon. Lift up as an ensign. A standard bearer. Noah's Webster, the 1828, the American Dictionary of the English Language, an ensign of war, a staff with a flag or colors. And then it goes on to say, that which is established as a rule or model. Lift up the banner, O the peoples. Lift up the ensign. Lift up a standard. Raise up a signal. Raise up a banner. Lift up. Raise. Signal. Raise. Set up. Put up a signal so that the nations can know. Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of Pathway of Hope. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Our God Almighty reigns. And he is the one who we love. He is the one that we serve. So unfurl the banners that proclaim these people that attend here will be renewed by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of his name. But we need to raise up the banner and not neglect this great salvation, this price that he paid for each and every one of us. Jesus died on the cross for us, and because of that, he is called the Lion of Judah, but he was the sacrificial lamb that we needed for each one of us. And it was because of that power that we can do what he has called us to do. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, do not neglect salvation. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, in other words, consequences, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness with both the signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. And he will do that here, but we need to love him and obey him. We can be a bright hope. The picture, the building fund, as you know, we're trying to raise that money, to have that place. And Eric drew this picture. It was based from Ezekiel, because we were mentioning and talking about how Amy Semple McPherson came up with the Foursquare title, and Foursquare, there was a campaign, a revival campaign, interdenominational revival campaign in Oakland, and she was preaching on Ezekiel chapter 1, and the Lord then revealed to her about how to call it, because people were wanting a denomination, and so she came up with that. But she came up from Ezekiel, and it talks about in verse 10, if I remember correctly, or is it verse 7? And it talks about how you have the face of the lion and the eagle and the ox and the man. And so Eric came up with this, and then his mother said, oh, I kind of see an oriental type building. And I said, Amy, the founder of the Foursquare denomination, Amy Semple McPherson, was an evangelist with her husband, and their first place that they went to on a missionary trip was China. Her husband wound up dying of malaria, and she got malaria, and she was 8 months pregnant, and so after her child was born, then she wound up returning to the States, but she went on other missionary trips. But their first one, and where they thought they were going to be for quite some time, because his heart was China, was that oriental type. There's angels, do you see, guarding the doors. And then I loved it because Eric, on his own, he didn't know that the word for this year would be receive. On his own, he did the claws and the feathers of the eagle and then the hoofs of the ox, as if kind of tilted up, receiving. And then the light on top, the man. It's because we receive what Jesus has and his light, we will receive that light and that power of it, and it will go in us and through us to others. But we have to continue to be open to him, receiving what he has, so we can pour into the lives of others his love. We can be there for others, but we need to continue. This Holy Bible is worth more than any money could pay, but we need to be in that Bible. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we can share that light to others. We, though, each one of us is ministers. Once you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, once you've recognized that you're a sinner and the only way to heaven is through Jesus being your Lord and Savior, so you have recognized, you have repented of your sins, and you've received that free gift of salvation, that blood that covers you, that power. I got the power! And you got that power because Jesus, and what he did for you. But this, I can't remember the guy's name. I can't see it. Debbie, what does that name say? Because it's kind of small on here. Mike? Yeah. And this book, and it says, Leading with the Heart and Beyond Basketball. Leading with the Heart and Beyond. The gold medals they got? Oh, yeah. Nice. But it was a team, wasn't it? And we are a team. We are part of the body of Christ. We are part of other Christians, and they don't have to attend here. And we are part of the body of Christ trying to help others to be on the team too, because we got the gold. Remember I handed out those gold medals one time? We have the gold because of Jesus, and there's no price you can put on it. It is our standard. You don't have to read the American Standard Version, but I just saw that it said standard, so I used that one. But that is our standard. But we have to believe. We have to believe what this word says, because it is full of truth and light, but it is full of beauty and the fragrance of the Lord. And we need to continue to walk on with that authority, because we are the bride of the Lion of Judah. And it is with that authority we can walk, but that's where we need to get rid of those stones and that debris. That is where we will be the spotless bride. Because in that empowerment that we receive from him is the power of grace.
we can then move in a mighty way. But it isn't until we're willing to walk in that authority that we have received, because we are the bride of Christ. So all these books of the Bible, that is our light. Many, many different books of the Bible. This is our light. We need to be in it. Because at that point, as Psalm 18 verse 28 says, "You, Lord, keep a lamp, my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." And we, with this truth from the 66 books of the Bible, we can help others to know this truth. Because when we open it up, it is full of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. He is our teacher. He is the one who will guide us into all the truth. He will teach us all things, and he will tell us of things that are to come, and he will remind us of everything that Jesus told us. And as John chapter 1 talks about, Jesus is the Word, and the Word became flesh, and this Word will never die. It is powerful. So as we continue to praise him and worship him and receive, because that cross is empty because of the power of the resurrection is with us. But we have to walk in that authority, and we need to get rid of those stones. We need to get rid of that debris. We need to honor him, and we need to go and make disciples, but we need to be in the Word. We need to continuously love him and grow in him and be obedient to him to be able to tell others of him. It's a three-dimensional thing. We need to love God passionately, as Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38 talks about. And then we need to love the world purposefully, as Matthew 22, 39 talks about, and Romans 5, 8, and John 3, 16, and Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. And we need to love each other sacrificially, unconditionally. Just read 1 Corinthians 13. But also we see that in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Yep, we need to go out into all the world. We need to dare to be disciples. But we can do that. Claim Isaiah 62. Claim it. We can brighten the corner of where we are. There is a song, and it's by Ina Dooley Ogden, and it was written in 1913. I received this on a card that I just recently got. It says, "Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now be true. Brighten the corner where you are." Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. Just above our clouded skies that you may help to clear. Let not narrow self your way debar. Though into one heart alone may fall your song of cheer, brighten the corner where you are. Here, for all your talent, you may surely find a need. Each and every one of us has been given different talents and gifts. Here, reflect the bright and morning star. Even from your humble hand, the bread of life may feed. Brighten the corner where you are. We have an awesome promise from the Lord and an awesome word that he has given us. And I want each of you to be blessed. This has the way that I read it to you, with all the different translations. So our God is awesome. Pastor Janet, and then I'll end.
you're welcome to come up anytime. And the prayer doesn't have to be for yourself. It could be for someone that you know that's close to you. It could be for a coming event that's coming up. But we welcome you. Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. Every situation that has troubled my mind, all my cares and burdens unto you I resign. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
In heaven and on earth. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So if you know of anybody who has not recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who has not trusted and believed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who have not recognized that they are sinners and that the only way to heaven is by Jesus, is by receiving his cleansing blood, is by having him as your Lord and your Savior. This is the way to heaven. There is an eternity, and we've all, everyone on this mission that it says, the mission, this mission, if you so desire to take it, this mission
is to help others to know the love of Jesus and what he has for each and every one. And that includes, as this mission, not only for those that need to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because they are blinded and don't recognize that their eternity right now at this point in time, if Jesus is not their Lord and Savior, is hell. But we are to help and encourage others to continue to love him and grow in him and be obedient to him. I was listening to Dr. Nasser. He is a pastor, was a Muslim, very deep in the Muslim. And he was dying in a hospital, and Jesus came and healed him. And he goes out, and he is a Sadiq. He's very high up in the Muslim, I think it was. Anyways, by his last name, they would know who he is. And they would know in the line. And his father knew, or I think it was his father or grandfather, knew Muhammad. And so they're in this line, and he became a Christian. He was healed instantly. But then his wife had MS, and it took 2 years, but they kept claiming the word. They played it 24 hours a day. So his healing was instant, fairly instant. And hers, it took 2 years, but they didn't give up. They kept claiming the power of the word. He would not let any negativity come into that house. Anybody who would not claim that she was dealing with symptoms, because they were claiming she was already healed. He says, by his stripes, I am healed. We're dealing with some symptoms here, and no more are we going to claim that we are sick. We are claiming healing over those symptoms. Yes. And I love that when he said that. It's like, thank you, Jesus, you made me whole. You came to heal all diseases. So I am claiming that by your stripes, I am healed. Amen. And this mission is to help others to know it, believe it, and receive it. So when we leave this place, we are going to explode, because we are all missionaries. Every saved person is a missionary, and every unsaved person is a mission field. Amen. His brother died and was on the way to hell. They prayed. He was in the morgue. And they prayed, him and his wife. And then all of a sudden in England, they get a call, and his brother was resurrected, but what he saw was hell. And he was bound there. And then he came, flew to England, and his brother became a Christian. There is a heaven, there is a hell. I was listening to the testimony of the boy that went to heaven. And he died. And then he went to heaven, and he saw his sister who was miscarried, that is, he never knew. He was 3 or 4 years old when he went to the hospital. And he started telling his parents of people that he never even knew about. He started telling them how he met John and Peter and Mary. And he said, you know what, I don't know the sister's name because you didn't name her. But he goes, don't worry, she's adopted. And she goes, oh, by Jesus? And he goes, no, by our Father, our Heavenly Father. Know what I liked about it? He said, everybody is about 29 to 30. Thank you, Jesus. He said, the children that are, you know, have miscarried or whatever, they grow up to their mature age of 29 to 30. It's like, oh, God, yes, I've got my heavenly body picked out. So, Lord, but isn't that just, it was just so cool to hear the innocence of a child who the Lord allowed to go to heaven. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. And if Jesus isn't anyone's personal Lord and Savior, they are bound for hell. And we should care. And we should care for those that are Christians to continue to be that mighty, powerful warrior, soldier for Christ. That mean-looking warrior bride over there with a sword of the truth. Spotless bride. Because we care. I'm going to kneel and claim the scripture for you. And then I would like us to stay seated, because I have another special thing right after I want to show you for a special couple that celebrated 55 years of being together as husband and wife. Praise God. So however you receive this. I'm claiming and declaring it over you. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. May the Lord bless you, watch over you,
guard you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto you. And may the Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace. For the peace that he gives surpasses all understanding. It is not like this world. May you all be blessed in the name of Jesus. I claim this. Amen.